like to start today by reminding us all, right, the first day in Advent. And if you did not receive your Unity Advent booklet when you came in, please get one on the way out. It's beautiful. And I want to share something. The very first daily word for tomorrow, Monday, is Reverend Richard's writing on hope. So now that's a double incentive to get in there and pick this up. So Reverend Richard wrote about hope, and today I'm going to talk with you about faith. And I am going to shift this a little bit so that I can see you so clearly. So when was the last time you flexed your spiritual muscle of faith? You know, and I'm sure if you thought about it, and you thought about the previous year, and maybe even the year before that, you have had many opportunities to flex that muscle of spiritual faith, because we have been on quite an adventure together, haven't we? Yes, indeed. So what I love is that there is a link between the word adventure and Advent. The word adventure means an unusual and stirring experience. Have you had some unusual and stirring experiences here lately? Well, this word adventure comes from the same Latin root word for Advent. And our Unity Advent booklet tells us that Advent is a vast and uncharted frontier that we get to explore, and it exists within. And we must be willing to embark on an adventure of spiritual introspection. Advent is a time to pay attention to every aspect of our lives and be fully present for what we consider the challenging and difficult times, as well as the inspiring times. Advent is a season of hope, renewal, change, and faith. So in her book, Divine Audacity, which very quickly is all about our innate spiritual powers. Charles Fillmore called them our 12 powers. And the book Divine Audacity talks about the power of faith. It's a wonderful book. As a matter of fact, in the spring, whether you remembered or not, Reverend Richard, you and I are teaching a class together on this. So I'm just say yes, okay? Just say yes. So she talks about the power of faith, and she uses three concepts to really help us cement our ideas around that: perception, conviction, and expectancy. So let's take a look at the first one, perception. Perception is, well, I should say faith is based upon our perception. We experience a reality formed when we interpret our observations about life and our beliefs accumulated throughout the years. So I remember as a kid, and I know you do too, that question, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Well, what I want to tell you is this. There's a new way to look at that, right? The new perception is the glass is always completely full. Right? So I love that, just a different way to look at something that we've always decided was one way or the other. So just entertaining, just the mere fact that you are willing to entertain a new way of thinking describes perfectly and vividly how the power of perception works. It is a skill which enables you, and it enables me, to give our attention to a thought or an activity, and yet at the same time know that there are other ways of looking at it and other ways of thinking about it. On page 39 of Divine Audacity, Linda Martellowitzit writes the following. Our perception is so critical to our experience of reality that it would be wise for us to question our perception and to seek the greatest truth we can fathom as the basis for our viewpoint. Truth, with a capital T, is spiritual law or principle, and truth is about our innate spiritual capacities, right? Faith, love, wisdom, understanding, to name a few. In March of 2020, I received a call from my nephew Rick, who lives in upstate New York, and he was informing me that his house had burned, like completely. Take a look at this picture here, if you can see it, okay? It's the picture of his kitchen. Every room in the house looked like that. Everything that was in it was gone. Everyone was okay. Everyone got out safe. But the whole house was in disarray, as you can see. And I am sure, if you think about it, that you've had situations in your life where you've experienced great loss and even little losses and wondered how you would make it through. Right, think about some of what you may have experienced just recently, perhaps. The loss of a loved one, perhaps the loss of a relationship, perhaps the loss of a beloved pet. And I will take a moment to say that Sandy and Mel, our hearts do go out to you, because we know that just the other day, you lost your beloved pet, Puff. So we hold a space of love for you. But there are so many losses that we experience. And for Rick and Sue, it came down to a willingness to take things one day at a time. My goodness, you know the saying, we've all heard it, this too shall pass. Sometimes it doesn't feel very good in the moment, but it is true. And they really had to keep their mind focused on faith and not let thoughts of this is impossible, I can't do it, it's never going to work, how are we going to make things happen? Oh, so many thoughts that we all think of in times of trouble, if you will. But they kept their faith strong. They really did. And they knew everything would work out, even though in the moment, they couldn't see it. They couldn't see the end result in the moment. They really had to flex both of their muscles of spiritual faith. And I'm sure, without a doubt, there have been times you have had to do the same. Well, here's the nice thing. They moved into their house in December of 2020, 9 months worth of work on their new house, like birthing a baby, right? 9 months, and it was in December, right? So the Advent adventure is real. They lived it, and they are doing so well right now, so I'm so happy about that. Now, Linda Martellowitzit speaks of a poem in the book that she and her daughter recite to each other, and I'd like to share it with you. It's by Shel Silverstein, and if you know Shel Silverstein poems, my goodness, they're quirky, but they're wonderful, and they typically have a wonderful message if you just do a little bit of a deep dive. So here it is. Listen to the mustn'ts, child. Listen to the don'ts. Listen to the shouldn'ts, the impossibles, the won'ts. Listen to the never-haves. Then listen close to me. Anything can happen. Anything can be. Is that not true? Faith, perception. And this relates well also to our second component of faith. Let's take a look at this, conviction. Conviction is our capacity to guide our thoughts, words, and actions with our infinite self, instead of reacting just from our human impulses or our egoic impulses. Just say no to ego. Okay? So, and this power of conviction is also spiritual authority. I love that, spiritual authority. So that when we do speak, we're speaking from the highest truth we know. We're speaking from a place of spiritual alignment. That means for me, personally, that I must watch my words. And I have watched my words. And I'm not too happy with them sometimes. And I am not too happy with what I hear coming from my mouth. I have to be really in tune with that. How about you? You know, have you ever thought, if I could just hit rewind, if I could just hit delete, if I could just unring the bell? Eddie Oliver, a dear friend, used to say, once that bell rings, Anne, it's real hard to unring it. And it's so true. So watching our words and what we are putting out there to ourselves and to others is so important. Now, Alicia Keys, you may have heard of her. She's an American singer, songwriter, and actress. And in the following video, she talks about how she changed her perception of the words she was using and how she wanted to do something and be something different with her words. So let's take a look at it.
I really do believe in the power of words. I think that it's the most incredible thing. When I first met my writing partner, I had a certain attitude. I would always be like, well, you know my luck. Well, probably with my luck, we're never gonna, you know. And, you know, so Crucial, that's his name, he said to me, you know, why do you say that? And I was like, what? I mean, it was funny to me. I didn't see the problem. And he was like, why do you say those things? You'll never, you know my luck, or how it goes for me. Like, why do you say that? You know, that's how it's gonna be if that's how you say it's gonna be. And that was so big for me, because I never thought about that before. I never thought that the things I was saying just nonchalantly as a joke were actually creating what was gonna happen for me in my life. And when I thought about it and when I actually internalized it, I realized, wow, dang, I say if a lot, or I say probably won't a lot. I don't want to say those anymore. So I decided to take, like, I don't even use the word if. Anybody around me uses the word if, I'm always saying, you mean when? You mean when? So I don't even believe in the word if. Like, I don't think it should exist, that word. And I really appreciate having been exposed to that concept that, you know, the words that we speak, the things that we say in our life, the things that I say in my life every day is really, you're like building your road with those words.
Yes, building our road with our words, something to think about, isn't it? So here's what is alive for me in the moment, knowing that true faith springs from the understanding that we're always co-creating with spirit. We're always co-creating with our words, with our thoughts, with our actions. So I remember a class I took actually now more than 20 years ago. Reverend Elizabeth was the minister here at the time. I don't remember what the class was, but I do remember this. I was sitting in the class and the question was posed, what would you like to have more of? So everybody was doing their deep thinking. What would you like to have more of? What would you have, like to have more of in your life? And I'm thinking, and then it was like, oh, I got this. You know, teacher, pick me. Hey, I got the answer, you know. And so when my turn came, she said, Anne, what would you like to have more of in your life? And I said, I would like to have more faith. I thought, yeah, there you go. What are you going to do with that? She just looked at me, and without missing a beat, she said to me, Anne, you will never have any more faith in your life than you have right now. And yeah, that, I heard that reaction. That was mine. I was like, oh my gosh, I am in big trouble. You know, so I was thinking I'm lacking something here. But it was wonderful because what she said was, you'll never have any more faith, you'll never have any more understanding, you'll never have any more wisdom than you have right now. And I was like, oh geez, again. So the spiritual adventure, if you will, the spiritual journey, the wheels were in motion. And what she said was, Anne, all the faith, it was so simple and yet profound, all the faith you'll ever need is within you. It is your responsibility to call it forth. And I was like, gee whiz, that was an aha moment. I went from being stunned to feeling liberated. And it was one of those, you know, when you have those moments in your life that just make a difference, they stick with you. It's something you've done or something someone has said, and it really drives home a message for you. That was my moment there. And I love it, and I remember it, and I just always remember, call it forth, Anne, no matter what the situation is. And this leads us right into our third component of faith, expectancy. Faith is demonstrated by a general sense of joyous anticipation. I expect things to go well. I see possibilities, especially in impossible situations. I remember another class we took, and someone said, was asked a question, and their answer was, "I am just giddy with anticipation thinking about that." Well, we joked about that for years, but now it takes on like a new meaning for me. It is interesting to feel giddy with anticipation about something that is happening. So faith, again, we just want to know and be aware of the three components. Three components. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes the following. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things." On page 108 in Divine Audacity, Linda has a lot to say. "Each of these things that we just mentioned up there points to an ideal found only in our truest self, our infinite self, the source of which is divine. Divine honor, divine love, divine faith. Direct attention to these divine attributes." It reminds me of Mr. Jensen. So Mr. Jensen was a teacher of young folks, an elementary school teacher who knew how to help children and students tap into their unique divine gifts. Occasionally, it's nice to have someone acknowledge that they have faith in our abilities. Yes, we have faith in our own abilities, but it is nice when someone recognizes that we have faith and they have faith in our abilities, that they see qualities in us that we may have temporarily forgotten, or that at the moment we don't see in ourselves. I'll just say this. I will always be thankful to Reverend Elizabeth that she saw something in me and knew it was a teachable moment. And isn't really that what life is all about? Teachable moments. As we open our hearts and our minds to teachable moments, we see them everywhere. So let's take a look at this video here. Clint is the student, and Mr. Jensen is the teacher.
One that's always stuck out to me, though, was when I was about 10 years old, and I was in school. And I struggled. And I didn't struggle with English, math, or science. I struggled holding still. And I would try to listen and focus and process ideas, but I couldn't help myself. And to be honest, I would sit there and then I would just start tapping. And the students in the class would look at me and they'd say, "Hey, stop tapping." A lot of the time, I didn't even realize I was doing it. And then eventually even the teachers got after me and they would yell at me and they'd say, "Clint, you have to stop tapping." It got so bad that I got sent to the principal's office for tapping. And he said to me, "Kid, maybe when you go back to class, just try sitting on your hands." And so I did. I went back to class and when I felt myself starting to tap, I did this. I sat on my hands. And that worked for about 5 seconds. One time I was tapping in class and my teacher, Mr. Jensen, he looked at me and he yelled. And he said, "Clint, stay after class." And I thought to myself, this is it, I am done. Now I've always been the type of person that believes that a single moment in time can change a person's life. And this was one of those moments for me and I will never forget it. And so I was sitting there with Mr. Jensen and an empty classroom. He walked past me and he sat next to his desk and he said, "Clint, come here, I want to talk to you." And as he looked me right in the eye, he said, "Now, I need you to know something, you're not in trouble. But I do have just one question that I have to ask you." And he asked, he said, "Have you ever thought about playing the drums?" And in that moment, Mr. Jensen, he leaned back and he opened the top drawer of his desk. And he reached in and he pulled out my very first pair of drumsticks. And he held them in his hands and he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Clint, you're not a problem. I think you're a drummer." Moment on, I've never put those sticks down. I've toured, recorded, and played drums all over the world. My whole college education was paid for with drumsticks in my hand. Just because of a single moment in time when somebody believed in me and he saw something in me that I didn't even see within myself. And from that moment, I learned that there's a difference between being the best in the world and being the best for the world.
That's actually the first time I've been able to watch that without getting teary-eyed. It touches me on such a deep level. When we tap into our divine gifts, we have the faith necessary to do what needs to be done by us. Believe it. A source of faith for ourselves and others. It's a wonderful gift, isn't it? As we prepare to go into the Advent season, I invite you to be on the lookout for opportunities to display your power of divine faith. And the next time someone asks you to describe what faith means to you, you might want to consider telling them. Despite appearances, anything is possible. If you just believe, and you might want to add, just get out of the way and let God do its thing through you. So I want to again say faith, perception, conviction, expectancy. And we're going to get ready to turn to meditation for a minute. But before we do, I invite you to get your hands ready. Okay, get your hands ready. Can I get a drum roll, please? Come on. Yes. Go forth with your faith-filled self and have a wonderful Advent season. So as we prepare for meditation, I invite you to settle in your seat. Take a deep breath. A deep, intentional, full, whole body breath. Let's do that again. A nice deep breath. And allow my words today to be your words. Faith is my ability to see what cannot be seen humanly. I activate this spiritual power courageously, perceiving a greater truth than my physical senses report. I dare myself to see what cannot be seen by human eyes, but exists as surely as the sun exists behind a cloud. I stretch my capacity to see the good that can be found in troubling situations. And I envision possibilities even in seemingly impossible situations. I am devoted to perceiving the good that can be. And so now I invite you to reach inward to your storehouse of faith, to remain faithful during times when your human brain cannot envision the magnificent possibilities of wholeness, of life, of harmonious love. And so again, my words, allow them to be your words. I demonstrate conviction by living as love lives, as wholeness lives, as wisdom lives. I audaciously trust in universal goodness, so much so that I rest deeply in the peace of spiritual assurance. And so as we go into the silence, just affirm, by my innate power of faith, I live in positive expectancy. I center my attention in joyous anticipation, knowing all is well. Truly.